Good morning, Colin Cloonan from Tula Energy. Nice to speak to you this morning.
Good day, Alex. Nice to talk to you too. Yeah, first time on the on this Share Talk podcast. So yeah.
You're listed on AIM and the Australian markets, and I
Yeah. We're listed on AIM on and on the ASX, and yeah, just a lot of people get mixed up with our name. It's in Australia we say Talau, in the UK people say Tulu, but the word TLOU, it's actually a Setswana word and it means an elephant. So
All right.
Setswana is the local Botswana dialect.
Just, Colm, since it's the first time you've been on the show, can you tell us a bit about Tullow Energy and the energy shortage currently being experienced in Botswana?
Yeah, well, just the company itself, we're a coalbed methane gas to power company with operations located in Botswana in southern Africa. So, in simple terms, we extract gas from coal located at depths of around 600, 700 meters underground, and this gas can then be used to generate power. Our operations are in an area of the world that have a severe energy shortage, so we do have a huge market for our gas on our doorstep and potentially a very high power price. So Botswana, it's a very stable jurisdiction, one of the most stable African jurisdictions. They have extensive coal resources and we have a very supportive government behind us. We've been operating in the region since 2009. We're the most advanced TBM natural gas company in Botswana. Our license area is quite large, about 8,300 square kilometers. And so we're exploring and developing in that area. And the Botswana government are very supportive, as I said, particularly as we can build an industry in the country. It'll create local employment and it'll also negate their need to. Botswana's need to import huge quantities of diesel, which is used at the moment for some of their power generation. We're at a pre-development stage, having recently received approval from the Botswana government to tender for and develop a 50 megawatt project in the country. We have a very experienced team. We are led by a gentleman by the name of Tony Gilby. You know, Tony's been here before and done it with a number of other CBM companies, particularly in Australia, and one company, Sunshine Gas, he was extremely successful for with, and it ended up being sold to BG back in 2008 for about 1.1 billion Aussie dollars. We have a large contingent resource booked over our assets, and earlier this week we received our first independently certified gas reserves, and thereby becoming the first company in Botswana to do so. So that was a very big deal for us.
Yeah,
We're,
I was gonna touch on that one actually. That was a big one for you.
yeah.
What does it mean to Tolu to receive the initial independent gas reserve certification?
Well, needless to say, we were absolutely delighted. Look, it's simply game changing for us. We have de-risked our project phenomenally. It's worth noting that reserves are by definition commercial. So effectively, this has confirmed the potential commerciality of the project. The reserve certifier, who's a completely independent expert from Talao, has stated the project is capable of economic development based on the data that they have evaluated. So yeah, it's a very big deal. The having an independent body with the caliber of SRK are the reserve certifiers we use the office based in Brisbane, have them indicate in their report that the gas from our pilot wells is capable of supporting an economic development is extremely noteworthy. Effectively, we've moved from having a potential gas asset in the ground to proving on a pilot basis that gas can be extracted successfully, thereby moving towards having a valuable and bankable asset. So, to us, like, it opens an awful lot more doors. De-risking the project, it'll bring further interest from large third parties, many of whom we're speaking to already, the likes of GE. A lot of these parties are looking to get involved in power generation in southern Africa, especially with a clean fuel like gas. in this market, which is desperate for power, and I suppose we also have the advantage that being in Botswana with its stable, supportive, and progressive government, you know, it doesn't have a lot of the risks you would have in some of the other African countries.
Yeah, the
So,
geopolitics, yeah.
yeah, so like a reserve statement, it's a major step up from the contingent resources we already had in place. We had a huge contingent resource of 3.3 TCF of gas. Now we've converted a small amount of that into reserves, but these initial reserves are vital as we look to develop the first phase of a scalable 50 megawatt power project in Botswana. So yeah, that's
That
yeah, look,
was
it's
going to be my next question there.
yeah.
So it's a major milestone for Tolu. Can you talk us through what the next steps are towards commissioning in the 50, your 50 megawatt project?
Yeah, the 50 megawatts, it's look, in general terms, 50 megawatts is not a huge power plant or anything, but look, it requires a bit of work. So we'll be looking at negotiating the terms of the 50 megawatt proposal with the government as soon as possible. And this will involve a full feasibility study, field development planning, engineering design, details of the midstream options, downstream options. Midstream would be transmission lines or potentially a gas pipeline, but in our case, more likely transmission lines. Downstream options would be the power station. And of course, we're talking to entities like GE who would assist us there. And we'd also address issues such as environmental requirements, landholder issues, and so on. So look, as I said, it's a big exercise, but we're well placed to get everything in order for initial implementation. You know, subject to, you know, how long things take and bureaucracy with government and so on. You know, we'd be looking to try and get our first power into the grid sort of 18 to 24 months from now. An ambitious target, but you know, we're focused on trying to get there. We're planning to build the project in phases as well. So rather than having just, you know, going the full 50, we're planning that we would start to get the first 10 megawatts into the grid and build from there. The advantage of that is it allows us to start generating revenue earlier from the project rather than having to drill out the whole field for your for the 50 megawatts. So we can drill out enough wells to supply 10 megawatts of power, or even less if you just put in a 5 megawatt unit initially. Then you need to still need to install your transmission lines, have the then put in the power station, start generating revenue, get it into the grid, and you can start building from there. And it means the full CapEx up front for your 50 megawatt project. Which is, it's a slight advantage. A lot of sort of oil and gas companies, you know, it's a much bigger play initially. You're talking about sort of 300 megawatt plants where you've got get everything up and running, so all the CapEx goes in up front. So in our term, as a junior explorer, or I suppose we're more pre-development than exploration now. You know, being able to do it in a scalable method like that is a distinct advantage to us.
The transmission lines, then you're going on the pipelines and then power station. So strategically, that's the way to do it for a company because of the cash flow and so on.
Yeah, so look, okay, that's what we plan to do. Like the other, you're talking about our different opportunities there, 50 megawatts and pipelines and so on. Look, there are numerous market opportunities in the region. Botswana has a current demand of sort of 650, 700 megawatts or so, and it's growing. Even the current demand isn't being met. So we're looking to initially to supply 50 megawatts into the Botswana grid. Thereafter, look, there's other possibilities. One we're particularly focused on, which you touched on there, being the gas pipeline, is actually doing a gas supply to the 90 megawatt Orapa power station, which is located about 140 kilometers north of our field. Now, the Orapa power station is the 90 megawatt power station that supplies power to the Orapa diamond mine. Orapa diamond mine is one of the biggest, if not the biggest, diamond mine in the world. Now, their 90 megawatt station is currently being fueled totally by diesel, so
Good
it's
grief.
particularly expensive for them. It was originally set up to be a Well, it is set up to be a dual fired station. It can run on gas or diesel. However, they've never had the gas, so they now, yeah, they run 24 hours a day on diesel, which is
They're costly,
expensive,
isn't it, to
and
say the least, yeah, and environmentally as well.
the other issue with with diesel is the as you said, environmentally, it's effectively it's a dirty fuel. If we can replace
Yeah.
that imported diesel with a local source of power, and we can build the industry there. It's a balance of payments issue as well for Botswana. Like at the moment, you arrive at the border in Botswana, and there's trucks lined up bringing every drop of diesel into the country, because there is no diesel pipeline into the country, so everything that comes in has to be trucked in. So you stop that. You rather than them spending their money on imported diesel, they're now generating the power themselves from their own local source, and it gets to the point where the countries can start exporting power.
Self-sufficient as
So,
well, yeah.
we've recently signed a cooperation agreement with a group called IK Holdings and GE. And now IK Holdings are they actually are pre-qualified for a to tender for a 300 megawatt power station in Australia. They're one of eight pre-qualified groups, and they're the only ones that have a gas-fired option. Now, further down the line, after the 50 megawatts, after Arapa, the 300 megawatts also becomes another option. Look, in any case, the region is chronically short of power. Look, the possibility to export power to other countries is always there. There is that the Southern African power pool. There's an agreement. In other words, if we generate power in Botswana and want to sell it into, say, South Africa, for instance, there's nothing to stop us doing that. We don't necessarily have to supply Botswana first and then move into South Africa. Although we are, that is what we're looking to do, is to supply Botswana first.
Yeah, you're not
But
landlocked in really, are you? Then that gives you the opportunity, like you say.
And even you mentioned landlocked as well. That's one thing about the diesel is Botswana. It is a landlocked country itself, as in it doesn't have any ports. So any diesel that comes in from overseas, it comes to a port like, say, Durban, then it has to come all the way up through South Africa and into Botswana. So even with the lower oil price, the effect that may have by having a lower diesel price, it still means that they still have a very expensive product by the time they even just truck it into Botswana, irrespective of what the oil price or diesel price is. So, look, it's there's potential there for us to be able to supply power and replace the expensive diesel generation and provide a lot more benefits to the Botswana people as well. So, look, all that adds up to a very exciting project, and something I think that should be able to bring value to shareholders.
I've got to ask you this one, Colm. I understand there's a number of market opportunities. Can you tell us about your plans for upscale and where the demand would come from? I know you've covered a lot of stuff there, but could you just pick up on that question?
The initial demand we're going to have will be obviously from from Botswana itself. Now, at the moment, they have a their demand, as I said, is about 650 to 700. Now that's expected to increase to about 1,000 megawatts over the next number of years. The current generation requirements are not being met. They've got Murupule Power Station, which is a 600 megawatt power station, but isn't producing anything close to 600 at the moment due to issues since it was built. It needs a severe amount of refurbishment. So initially, there is a huge amount of power required in Botswana alone. I've never driven through the country, or say Gaborone, the capital. I've never driven through and not seen a power outage where traffic lights are out and so on. Also, we've stayed there in hotels, and generally we'd have a power outage anytime we've been there. So there's Botswana is there. There's also numerous mines in the region, independently run mines, and a lot of those are not connected to the grid. In any case, the grid isn't reliable for them, and they run on diesel as well. The other options then, of course, are export power is a major one, with particularly into South Africa, with they've got a a deficiency of about, I think it's about 6,000 megawatts or so, their current deficiency, and I'm sure that's growing. The whole region is growing, so the power demand is always there. So look, the chances to upscale are numerous. Yeah, so the market is something that we don't see as an issue going forward.
No, that's great stuff. Just a final question. What can we expect to hear next from Tolu? What are the milestones we should be looking out for?
Yeah, so look, we've just had our reserves certification coming out, which was a massive moment for us, and we'll continue to test the wells. So I didn't touch on our actual field out there. We have two distinct, or not really distinct, two separate acreage or license areas. One we call the Lesedi area and one we call the Mamba area. Now the Lesedi area is the main area we've been working on, and within the Lesedi area we have wells which we call the Selemo wells. Now those are the wells we've been flow testing recently. We've been flaring gas there, and it's in that region that we have received our initial reserve certification. Now the Selemo area, it's relatively small. Like it's probably like 1, 2, 3% of the whole contingent resource area that we've booked. So like we'll continue to test at the Selemo pilot wells. Enhanced results there will also add to expanding our reserve certification. We're also looking in that Lesedi area, close to where Selemo is. We're looking at flow testing other wells which we've already drilled in the area. So if they're successful, again, that's another increase to our reserve certification. Then we are negotiating with potential partners in relation to the 50 megawatt project, and these are likely now to gather pace following our latest announcement. We had spoken to a lot of people prior to having reserves, and a lot of the larger groups had said to us, look, they really like the project, but once you've got reserves, we've de-risked that little bit more for them, that they'd be interested in talking to us again. So we will be following up with all those now as well. We've also recently had our environmental impact statement approved for field development. Now this was a major achievement for us, and yeah, I don't think it was recognized as such, but getting your EIS in place, environmental impact statement approved, is key for us to get a mining license. So the licenses we currently have are exploration or prospecting licenses, and they generally last sort of 2 or 3 years, and then you've got to renew them. We generally have had no issues with renewing them. We've got a great relationship with the government, and we continue to develop the areas. We've never had an issue with renewing them. However, by having an EIS in place, that is one of the key elements to convert a prospecting license into a mining license. So there's a few other issues to go through yet, but yeah, we will be looking as soon as we can to try and or to submit our application to get a mining license, and that will allow us security of tenure, because the mining license will last for 20 or 30 years and effectively transforms us from exploration and appraisal to a development company. So that's going to be another significant achievement and something we're focused on getting as soon as we can. Again, you know, it all comes back to bureaucracy and getting things moving. And look, but it is a key focus we have going forward. We completed a placement recently as well, so we are fully funded for our current phase of operations. So look, there's a lot going on. You know, it'll be a busy upcoming period with offtake negotiations, further flow testing, discussions with potential partners, planning the field development. Yeah, numerous positive developments on the way. Beyond that, again, then, you know, in the longer term, we have the other area I mentioned. It's called the Mamba area. Now, Mamba is not as developed as the Lesedi area, but we would look further down the line at doing more exploration in there, maybe some core holes, doing some seismic surveys and so on. But look, we we do have some data, and we know that the coal seams that we currently extract gas from in the Lesedi area, they do extend into the Mamba area. So yeah, there's a distinct advantage with moving into that area as well. So yeah, quite an exciting time ahead, and yeah, looking forward to it.
I've got to ask the Colm, is it just be, obviously because you've got so much going on, is it okay if ShareTalk go across social media and collect some questions and we submit them to you for a Q&A and then you can come back and answer your shareholders?
Yeah, that's no problem at all. Yeah, we're happy to engage with shareholders. Look, we're happy to answer any questions that come along. So yeah, fire ahead.
No, that's great stuff and thanks very much for giving up your time this morning.
No
Great.
problem. Thank you very much.